We warmly welcome Noelle as our speaker for this Monday Night Crew Miracles meeting on Monday, August the 24th, 26. Noelle, when you speak, it is considered implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted on oafootsteps.com as a podcast. To preserve your anonymity, please do use only your first name or an alias when you share. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole.
Thank you, Rich, and the other person that asked me, sorry, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but yeah, thank you for asking me. Grateful to be of service, grateful for abstinence, and in my family, get the numbers out of the way. I weighed in today, but my top weight is 300 or like around 302. And I weighed in today and it is 132. My abstinence date is December 13th, 2021. My home group is the Sunday morning Studio City in-person meeting. I sponsor, and he has a sponsor. And, I go to about, I would say, like 6 meetings a week, if not more. And then I have 4 commitments currently at meetings, and that's just some of the numbers. But I've been coming to programs since 2004, so there's some relapse in there. And I think growing up, in my family, food was love, and they would just give me food, and that's how they expressed their love. That's how they expressed like they cared. And I didn't mind eating the food either. So like it was a no brainer. And I think the first time I really remembered being a compulsive reader okay, I'm eating more than the adults, but I'm 9 years old and I'm eating more than the adults. And, at 9, they didn't care. They just kept giving me food, and I was an active kid, and it just didn't show up on my body. And so it wasn't like really affecting me, in my opinion. And as soon as I became like a teenager and, I was eating more than that. And, they were not saying, there was no boundaries at home at all. And so for sure, not around food. And, what ends up happening is I start gaining weight, and people are making fun of me a little bit, or it wasn't horrible, but it was enough to where I start to notice I didn't have that issue, and I was eating pretty much the same food. I ate a little extra because I just didn't know how to deal with life. I didn't know how to be friends with people, really. I mean, I knew how to be a jerk to people, but I didn't know how to be their friend. And when you're 13 or 14, the kids, people make different friends, and it was just a struggle for me. And I'd moved from Detroit to California, so it was just a struggle there. And I decided I'm gonna go on my first diet. My family liked to diet also. My mom liked to diet. My dad, he didn't have to diet, but they loved to diet. So I did a diet. I joined the cross country and track team in high school, and I lose the weight that I had gained, and I'm at a healthy weight. But I was crazy. I mean, even as a teenager, I knew this is not healthy. This is not normal. And when things didn't go my way, I just decided I'm going to go back to binging, because, it I wanted a certain result. I wanted a Letterman jacket, and I thought my time qualified. I mean, it was, and I guess it didn't. They didn't want to give it to me. They gave it to somebody else with a similar time. I thought those people hated me. I thought the team hated me, but the team didn't hate me. They just wanted to be friends. I don't know what was, maybe the coach didn't want to give it, whatever it is, but I didn't know how to say, okay, I could be friends with these people despite, this happened. And I just chose to go back to eating. And I started getting panic attacks. I don't know why. I just started getting panic attacks, and the food was a lot, and I just, couldn't stop after that till I came into program. And it was just a series of like, why can't I stop doing this? I'll start on Monday. You know what? I'm in college. I'll start on this day, or whatever it is. I just could never put down food. I could never, I was just crazy. Even when I was doing any of these diets that, personal trainer at the gym, whatever it may be, diet of like any kind of diet I tried, it was just craziness. It wasn't sustainable. I still didn't have a lot of friends. I was isolating. Just my defects of character were all coming out, and I didn't know what to do. I was at a 12-step meeting, and somebody told me to go to OA, and this was in like 2004, and I went to go there, and like, he goes, I go to that meeting, go to the meeting. And it was the Studio City, but it was at a different location, like right down the street. And I never saw that guy at an OA meeting ever again. But like, I went there, and what I got from these people that I noticed, like, I don't know, just like, I know it took a lot for me to go there. I'm not waking up at 7:30 on a Sunday if I don't have to. And I usually would be planning out a binge to watch football or whatever it is, and I go there, and these people are talking about stuff that I went, that I'm going through, that I'm ashamed of, or that is scary to me. And you know what? They're laughing. A lot of them are at a healthy weight. And like, they're at a healthy weight, and they seem sane. I mean, I've been at a healthy weight once or twice, but I was just insane. Like, so like, that didn't, like, for me, like, these people weren't focused on whatever like food, how much they can get, where they can get it. They were just, they were at a, they seemed like happy, healthy people. I don't know. And they were ready to go from like 7:30 in the morning. They looked like their day was about to start, and I got a sponsor, but I think, part of the thing that I noticed was I did it my way, and it didn't work. Eventually, I did the steps, but you know what? I'm gonna do it a little bit differently than what my sponsor suggests. I will, I go to sober eating now, which is a life changer for me also. And I didn't have that. And I was like kind of abstinish. And what ends up happening is, I think, I get a job that I like. I think I should go for the promotion. I want to show off to my boss. And what ends up happening is, I need to, instead of going to the meeting and like going to work afterwards, which they allowed me to, I was at a junior college, so they were like flexible with my hours. I said, no, I can come in, be the first one in, and I don't need a meeting, and then I don't need to make a phone call, and I don't need to check in with my sponsor. And well, then I'm back into eating my alcoholic foods. I'm back into eating sugar and hiding it. And then I'm just full on, like, in my addiction. And it lasted a couple of years. And I gained 100 pounds. And, it was still, I went back, and it was just, to me, like, at that point, I didn't really connect it. It just felt like, okay, it's just a weight gain. Medically, there was not much wrong. And when I went back the second time, I kind of did the same thing. And I didn't want to make new friends. I didn't want to change my life. And, like, I wanted to be comfortable. I wanted whatever was familiar. And for me, that got me into a lot of trouble in the past. And, I was dealing with some, childhood abuse issues, and they came up while I was, during my second time being abstinent. And I didn't have a group of guys. I didn't connect with a lot of people. And I felt like isolated, and I wasn't ready to address it. And I wasn't there for, like, I wasn't connecting with people. I wasn't, like, in the middle of the pack. I was always on, like, the outside, just like, doing barely enough to, like, get by. And what ends up happening is I relapse again, but this time it's 10 years. And this time it's, 150 pound weight gain. My health is not good. I'm pre-diabetic, according to whatever chart the test they did. I'm having trouble walking the block. I can't function at work. If it wasn't my own business, I'd probably be fired because I was not employable at that time. And I just couldn't walk up steps. I couldn't be around people. My life was really unmanageable. And that's when, like, thank God for Zoom, that I was able just to, I kept asking God to, like, get me to away. I can't, like, live like that. And I went to an OA meeting, and then, on Zoom, and I was nervous. And a couple weeks later, I went to the, like, an in-person meeting, which is my home group, and I saw my sponsor. And my sponsor is, he was there when I went out, and he was sitting next to me. And when I said I lost my abstinence, he was there, and he said, "Welcome back." And 10 years later, he was still abstinent. And so, I asked him, would he be my sponsor? And he said, yeah. And then he just, we started working the steps. I sent him my food at first for a couple of weeks. And then he introduced me, and somebody else introduced me to sober eating, which means I don't make unilateral food decisions, which I thought was insane when I first heard it. Like, what are you talking about? And it was a good point. The point was, I never could make the right food decisions in the past. Why would it just be the next, like, that day I wasn't going to be able to make the right food decisions? What ends up happening is, we worked through the steps, and he just said, ask for help. And you'll like, him and other people just said, just ask for help. And I kept asking for help, and I kept showing up, and I worked the first three steps that I was powerless, and my life was unmanageable. And then I had to, what's it called? I had to believe the power greater than myself, restore my sanity, which is, at that time was the group. And then, step three, All those I do daily, but it's an ongoing thing to have a relationship with the higher power that keeps improving. You know, at first it was just, you know, me probably saying it and acting as if. But each day now I get it. And then like the 4 through 9, the inventory, those were really important to me. And the amends, because you know, when I was in my addiction, and even before doing my inventory, you know, I can justify a lot of things. Nothing was my fault. That's where my head went. And you know, recognizing I have these defects of character, but not, you know, my sponsor said you don't have to beat yourself up over it too much. You know what I mean? Don't, like, it's not a beat yourself up step. And then making the amends was not easy, was not fun. But when I made the amends, I was able to, you know, form better relationships with my family for the most part. Better relationship with neighbors. I mean, it was just that I thought it was a more of a big deal than they thought it was. And you know, now I can go to these people's houses or go to these establishments and have my head raised high. I can look them in the eye instead of, you know, oh man, did they know I took candy from them, you know, when I was in my addiction or when I was a teenager? Or do they know, like, I broke their vase and didn't say anything, or ate all their food in their fridge, and like, you know, when I was like, taking care of them, or, you know, helping them out, you know. And then 10, 11, 12 is, you know, you know, 10 and 11, and, you know, I sponsor people. That's 12 and 10 and 11. You know, I do my 10 step and I do an 11 step at night, and, it helped me. And what also helped me is like connecting with fellows. That's not something I normally would do. I don't normally go on retreats, and I went on a retreat with a bunch of guys, and it really, like, you know, helped me out. I could never go to these. I get to do things in program that I couldn't do when I wasn't abstinent. When I was in the food, I was not the type to be outgoing and go to places. And now, you know, somebody in program gave me and a friend of mine tickets to go to see the Rams. And I love football, and I always wanted to go there, but I couldn't walk up the stairs to go there. I couldn't fit in the seat. I couldn't, you know, be around people. I was too ashamed. I had all these things, and I would always wonder what, you know, what's the next food I can have? And I got to go there, and it was a lot of fun. I got to go on a plane that I normally don't go on planes, and I got to go on a plane this last year. You know, I get to do a lot of things as a result of like coming here with your guys' support. I get to be of service. I mean, I was mentioning to somebody like what I do to get current is like what, you know, like currently what I do is like I wake up in the morning, I make my bed, I get on my knees, I pray, and then I like do the on awakening and like the 7-step third step prayer. I do some meditation from the fourth today. You know, throughout the day, I go to a meeting. Throughout the day, I take calls or I make calls. I have three sponsees I work with. And, at night, I do my 10 step. I get on my knees and I thank God for another day of abstinence, because, you know, I thank God in the morning for my abstinence, because I couldn't do this on my own. And like what else, you know, what also I notice is like, you know what, make like having the 10 step is I'm gonna mess up. I make plenty of mistakes throughout the day, you know, here and there, throughout the week, throughout the day, I make mistakes. I get upset at people, or but I can make a 10-step amends. I don't have to hold it in for hours, days and days and months. And I constantly have to make an amends to my brother, because we just don't get along. But I see my part in it. I'm not ashamed to say that, you know what, like I don't get along with my brother, and I constantly owe him a 10 step amends, because I don't, just it's something that I'm working on, and my sponsor knows, and like people know. And that's something I couldn't admit before. I couldn't admit that like I needed help going back to college. I couldn't admit that like, I needed help with that. And I think for me, just having, good examples of people in recovery, guys living, or even like the people at meetings that, say what they're going through, are vulnerable, are willing, to put it out there and show how they've recovered from it, is an inspiration to me. And I just want to say thank you to everybody. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Noel, for your share. It was much appreciated. Let's give Noel a big round of applause for a wonderful share. Now is the time to ask our speaker questions. As we are still recording, we ask that you put your questions in the chat and I will read them aloud. You're welcome to message them to me directly or to the group. We ask that you do not come off mute to ask your question or to thank the speaker verbally in this section, as we don't have permission to record other attendees. We will allow up to 15 minutes for questions for our speaker, after which time we will have sharing until 15 minutes after the hour, and then in our parking lot. And yes, I really do encourage you to send me your questions. So we're going to start the question time now. The first question that came in, Noel, is what is your morning routine?
So the question is, what is your morning routine? For me, I get up in the morning, I make my bed, and then I get on my knees and I thank God for abstinence. And then I do the On Awakening, and I do some of the Thomas Merton prayer, and the set aside prayer, and then like the what is that called? A Serenity prayer, third step prayer, and seventh step prayer. And I do the sick men's prayer, and they're all on like that my OA toolkit. And and then I go to a meeting, and then and then like if my sponsees call, I take their call if they call in the morning that day. I do a prayer meditation with the four today. That's what my sponsor told me to do. And that's what I do. And I meditate like 2 minutes, so I'm not like a big on meditation, but it's something. And he said you just have to do for a couple of minutes, so I was like, okay, I think I could do that. So that's pretty much it.
Okay. How do you practice conscious contact with your higher power?
I think
Or
if
in another way of putting it would be, how do you stay spiritually fit?
I think, if I start off the day, praying, and then if I go to a meeting and I connect with you guys, and hear that we do spiritual work, and then I connect with other fellows, or make outreach calls or receive outreach calls, it's constantly reminding me like higher powers like working, you know what I mean? Like, because I see like, okay, somebody had a miracle in his life happen, or somebody's going through something, but they're not eating over it. And okay, so now I go like, okay, you know what? Maybe I have a certain issue, a certain thing coming up, and if I don't eat over it, I can, like, okay, then a higher powers, I just have like that thought of like, okay, if as long as I don't eat over it, higher power's gonna make it, like get me through it, or And like it got the other people got through, like that it's working in their life, it can work in my life. And over time, I think it grew. And yeah, I just reach out to like my higher power, to God, like throughout the day, and that's and over time, I saw that things worked out. They just didn't work out the way I thought they would look, but they worked out. Like stuff does work out. It's just not how I envisioned it, and that's okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
How do you deal with a person after you make amends to them and clean up your side of the street, but that person never recognizes any part of wrongdoing on their part?
That's tough. So, I mean, with my brother, I've gotten a couple times where I've gotten angry with him. So I, that, like it's not always perfect, but like with somebody that, other than that, I just call people afterwards. I might write about it, but I right away like will call somebody, either call Rich or somebody else, or that. Hey, this really pissed me off. I made the amends, and they just weren't really receptive, or they didn't think they had a part in it. And I get to recognize, I get to honor that, that feeling that I'm upset. It doesn't, like I'm upset that they didn't recognize that. And but my side is clean. That's, and I can accept the situation. That's got to be, and then just turn it over. I mean, that's all that I could do about it at that moment.
Thank you. What is the greatest gift that OA has given you?
I think there's not just like a one like gift per se. I would say, what's it called? I would say, like, of course, abstinence, but I think like fellowship, being around people, I think that's those two are like, right there. Those are the greatest gifts. I mean, being abstinent and not being in the food, not harming myself with food is amazing. And being around people that, I used to just isolate, and this really, I don't have to do that. I made more friends than I thought I would ever make. So yeah, that's it.
Thank you. The question is, during the process of eating in moderation, how do you deal with your hunger?
So like I just make outreach calls, and my sponsor says if food comes up, that's 911. You got to call him or call somebody. Like it's not a thing where, oh well, maybe if food thoughts come in, that the same, I do the same amount of exercise and I've had the same food the day before and it was enough. And I do it with consultation with him and a nutritionist. Sorry for the outside help thing brought up. So if we're all in an agreement, and so if it worked yesterday, it should work today. Like there's nothing, I didn't change anything drastically. I didn't do anything. So like if any changes happen, I call my sponsor. I let them know, like, hey, this is going on. So like, and then I ask higher power to relieve it. He might, and I take his direction, like sometimes write about it. Sometimes it's just a thing that's bothering me. Then all of a sudden I'm hungrier. But it's not like I'm physically need food. It's just I'm stressed out, or I'm happy, or whatever. Something comes up, and so he says, "Okay, now I've turned it over." And he recommends like call a newcomer, which at first was I didn't want to hear, but okay, I do it now. Like call somebody else, see how they're doing. He reminds me, you're not gonna die if you don't have this like extra, like you feel hungry or you are hungry or something. So that's it.
Thank you. Are there times in your recovery that you just have to step out on pure blind faith with your higher power when it seems so unsure of how everything is going to turn out with people, life, and recovery?
I think so. I mean, I think there's times where like, okay, this is something new. I've never done this before. I've never done a lot of things. When I came back, my sponsor had to remind me, like, have you ever done this abstinently? No, I haven't had to, like right now I'm going back to school. I've never been in school and abstinent. I mean, and like a real abstinent, not me taking my will back one day and this day, So, there's times where, yeah, I think there's times where like when I w went to go on a plane, I haven't been on a plane since I was 9 years old, and I was gonna take a car, and they suggested, no, you got to get on a plane to go here, and I wasn't sure that, on the plane they're gonna have my food that I need or something. It was a short flight, but you know what I mean? Like if the, where I was going, there were, what was the accommodations? But it all ended up going well. I mean, and it was something like I wasn't sure of it. Last time I was on a plane, I was freaking out. I was 9 years old and I was freaking out. And this time I have to be there. I can't freak out because they're depending on me to be there. And you know what? It all worked out. I wasn't nervous. I had my abstinent meals, and yeah, it's just there's times where, I don't know if I'm in that much fear, I don't see God's thing. And but when I call somebody and I tell them, hey, I'm really nervous about this, and this is what's going on, they help me through it. And what I'm realizing lately is that it's just I think things are going to work out. It's just I was telling my sponsor, they just don't like, I would like them to work out a certain way, but they probably won't work out that way. Or if they do, that's great. But if they don't, that's just the way they're supposed to be. I mean, that's all that I've been noticing. So
Thank you. How often do you do 10th steps, and how do you do a 10th step?
for me, I do a 10 step every day. Sometimes I have to do it in like the middle of the day. Like I do my like where I like I would say I do my 10 step, like I do it every day. But sometimes like I try to do a 10 step, 10 and 11 at night, like from the MyOA toolkit. It has like, it's from the questions from the big book. But like for me, sometimes during the day, like I say the wrong thing. I get angry with somebody. I, cut somebody off while they're talking, or I mean, I do some stuff that isn't, that's like upsetting to somebody. And I contact somebody, I tell them like, hey, I did this, I think I own amends. And they're like, okay, you own amends. And I could see my part. And then I just go and I make an amends to that person, like, hey, you know what, I did this, it was my fault, and I'm sorry about it, and I'll try not to do that again. And but sometimes when I do like the questions at night, and because there's not like a glaring situation, whether at work or at home, or so that's how I do it.
Are there any specific character defects that God has removed from you?
I think some of them gotten better. Like for me, like for me, gossiping got a lot better, I think. Having the need to be right all the time has gotten better. Like I can let somebody have their experience. They don't have to have like I don't have to prove that I'm right. And before I had to prove like, okay, my way's correct. Theirs is like that's kind of off. Like or now it's like, okay, that's their experience. You know, I mean, but it took time, and I have to catch myself because like I'll see that like I want to just say something like, oh, this is why that result happened because you did it wrong. But it like they didn't do it wrong. They did it the way they're supposed to do it. That's how it works for them. I mean, or they, you know, they're doing the best they can. Like I'm doing the best I can, and I'm able to see that instead of, and with gossip, I think that was, you know, it started getting less and less with like having to make amends. Because I used to like gossip a lot, and it would get me in trouble, you know, because that person eventually would hear it. And nine, I get it. Like, okay, I don't need to talk behind that person's back about them, or you know, like they're doing their thing, I'm doing like my thing, and you know, because I don't want to have to make another amends to that person like I already did. And then, so those two, I think, were like the most that I noticed.
Thank you so much, Noel. I'm just going to turn off the recording.
Thank you.